We meet this morning to glorify God, whose power sustains the world, to remember with thanksgiving those who lived and died in the service of our country, and to ask for God's help and his blessing that we may be worthy of their sacrifice each day of our lives. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the shepherd of our souls and the giver of everlasting life. On this day, we remember those who lived and died in the service of others. We remember that you gave your Son Jesus to be the Saviour of the world, and that you gave the gift of your Holy Spirit to help those who trust in him to walk in the paths of righteousness and peace. With sorrow, we confess that in our hearts, we keep alive the passions and pride that lead to hatred and to war. Forgive us, we pray, and deliver us from all our unworthiness. Help us to forgive one another, to heal division, to cast out fear, and to renew our faith in your unchanging purpose for peace and goodwill to all the earth. These prayers we offer in the name of the Prince of Peace and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue to worship God as we sing our opening hymn, which is Psalm number 46. And could I ask people to remain standing after the end of Psalm 46 for our act of remembrance? Let us worship God together.
Thank you.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. In memory of those who died, may we be better men and women, and in gratitude to God, may we live as those who are not their own, but who are bought with a price. Amen. Please remain standing for the national anthem. God save us. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning will be read for us by Robbie Leonard. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, and this can be found on page 899 of the Bibles in the pews.
In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God, for he will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen, for the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among the nations, among the great powers near and far. They will hammer their swords into ploughs, and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare to battle again. Everyone will live in peace among his own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make him afraid. The Lord Almighty has promised this. Each nation worships and obeys its own God, but we will worship and obey the Lord our God forever and ever."
Thank you, Rob. I'd like to invite Emma to come forward. She's been at the Remembrance Sunday Parade with the Boys Brigade this morning, and she's going to chat to the children. So if there's any children in the congregation, can you please come up to the front so that Emma can chat with you?
Hello, everybody. How are you? Good to see you all out this morning. Going to jump up on the seat, Josh? Good boy. Well done. Great. Go on ahead. Well, lovely to have you out with us this morning. I want to ask a question this morning. I wonder if somebody could tell me the answer. We're going to ask a question. I wonder why someone might give flowers to another person. Can anybody tell me why somebody would give flowers to another person? Lillian. They like them, that's right. And is there special times when people get flowers? Yeah. Valentine's Day, that's right, and that's to show people that you love them. Josh, when do you give That's right. Yeah, you're one step ahead. Well done. But that's a special floor, absolutely. And these, there's lots of special times that we can give flowers for a gift as we remember birthdays and other special events such as weddings and maybe Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. But they can be used to say thank you. They can be used to say I remember you, or maybe you're special or I love you. But we are in November and we often see people wearing another flower. Now, I can see some of you wearing this flower this morning. And Josh has already told us. Josh, what's the answer? What flower is that? The poppy. Well done. And these flowers can be bought, obviously, on the streets. And maybe, did you buy your poppy maybe in school? Maybe some schools sell them, which is great. But these red poppies are the flower that we're going to talk about this morning. And we see people wearing these this morning, but today is Remembrance Day, and they are the flowers for us to remember. That's right. And on this day, we remember all those men and women who fought in the war and who suffered and maybe even died, and those who still fight in the wars today. And the reason we use a poppy is to help us remember is that they were the first flower to grow in the fields in a place called Flanders Field in World War I. So if we have a look at our poppy this morning, we think about the red petals. Now, if you think of red, what does the red part remind you of, Jimmy? Blood, that's right. And the red part could represent blood and the fact that many people gave their lives in the war so that we can live in a free country today. The red part also reminds me and all of us about Jesus. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us by going to the cross and dying for us. He laid down his life not just for his country, but he laid down his life for the whole world. And by doing that, we're able to live our lives free from sin. So the red part is much bigger than the black part, right at the very centre. But if you look right at the very centre, in some poppies, this is where the seeds are. And that gives us a promise of new life and of peace and of hope for the future. So we might think today we're thinking, remembering things from a long time ago, which we are. But actually, Remembrance Day, as we believe in Jesus, Remembrance Day is every Sunday. Today, when we remember, when we come to church to remember that big sacrifice, the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus gave his life for us and the whole world, so that they would know his great love and that peace. So we think about what's the next part, the green part. So if we look at the green leaf is set at 11 o'clock. We think about the clock, and we think about where the leaf is set. And that is to remind us of the 11th hour, of the 11th day, of the 11th month. Isn't that right? And that's to remind us every November to remember that when a special agreement was signed. Do you ever make promises? Yeah. Something like a peace agreement, something that is signed to promise that something was coming to an end or that it wouldn't happen anymore. And so the war was coming to an end. They had to wait a wee while after this agreement was signed, but the war was coming to an end, and that was a sign for them to remember at 11 o'clock that was when it happened. But the leaves, green also reminds us of growth, and the green leaves are also things that grow. And whenever we receive Jesus' love into our hearts, he wants us to grow in our lives and sharing that love with other people. And unlike those people that have fought in the war and all those who still fight today, we might not be asked to give up our lives to the extent of that great love, but we can still show love to other people. And maybe we show our love to mummies and daddies and all our family, maybe those in school or those who we work with. But we need to remember that we have lots of people to think about and we have lots of good, kind things that we can share with the world and the people around us. So this morning, as we look at our poppies, as well as remembering and giving thanks for the men and women who have given up their lives, we want to think too about Jesus, who gave up his life for us. We think about the red part when he gave his life, and we think about the black part, to deal with those things in our lives which aren't very good and don't make God happy. So today I want you to remember, when you look at your puppy, about God's love and about God's sacrifice for us, as well as about giving thanks to God for all those people who fought in all the wars and who died so that we would know freedom today. Great, thank you for listening. Okay, so this morning we are in a brand new month. Can anybody tell me what new month we're in? Yes? November. And last month we had our birthday blessing box. Now, anybody have a birthday in November? Oh, got one. Anybody else? Oh, wonderful. Two and three. Great, okay. Wonderful. Oh my goodness, all these hands keep moving. That's great. Keep putting your hands up. That's really nice to see. Glad to see it. Happy birthday for when that happens. The way we're working this morning is the same way as last time. The children will receive their gift when they're heading out to Tots, Jigsaw and Blast. And those adults who have a birthday in November will be able to receive a gift out of our box at the end of the service. Thank you.
Rennie is going to come forward now to read our scripture lesson, which is Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. And this can be found on page 11 of the Bibles in the news.
Jesus heals a Roman officer's servant. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman officer met him and begged for help. "Sir, my servant is sick in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly. I will go and make him well," Jesus said. "Oh, no, sir," answered the officer. "I do not deserve to have you come into my house. Just give the order, and my servant will get well. I, too, am a man under the authority of superior officers, and I have soldiers under me. I order this one, go, and he goes. And I order that one, come, and he comes. And I order my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was surprised and said to the people following him, "I tell you, I have never found anyone in Israel with faith like this.
I assure you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But those who should be in the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness, where they will cry and grind their teeth. Then Jesus said to the officer, "Go home, and what you believe will be done for you." And the officer's servant was healed that very moment.
Thank you very much, Derek. And hopefully now I have sound again. Is that okay? Yes, spot on. Excellent. I just want to draw your attention to one notice. Next Sunday is our PW service, and we'll have a special speaker, Mrs. Eileen Black, who is Deaconess of Great Victoria Street and Friendship House in Belfast. And the service will be led by people belonging to the Presbyterian Women's Organisation. That doesn't mean, men, you have an excuse not to come out next week, but we want everyone to gather together as we focus on the work that Presbyterian women are doing in our church and in our own congregation. So please do make a special effort to come out to that service. We come now before God with our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, we seek your blessing upon our country at this time of uncertainty. We pray for the Queen that she would continue to reign with wisdom and strength. We pray for the government and for the forthcoming election campaign. And we ask, O Lord, that the results will provide a clear and unambiguous outcome so that decisions can be made about the future of our nation and of our relationships with other nations, including those in the European Union. We pray too, O Lord, this morning for those who serve in our armed forces, whether at home or overseas. Grant them courage to meet all occasions with discipline and loyalty, that they may serve the cause of justice and peace and bring honour to our nation and to your holy name. We remember too this year the 50th anniversary of the outbreak of the Troubles here in our own province, and the 80th anniversary of the outbreak of World War II. And we pray, O Lord, for all those who still suffer the loss and the pain of a loved one who was killed in those troubles or killed in World War II. And we remember all those who suffer as a result of injuries, whether physical, mental, or spiritual. And we pray, O Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would grant them comfort and peace. In Jesus' name. We pray too for our young people, that they may reflect upon the sacrifices of those who have gone before them, and that they too will pledge to pursue the ways of peace and righteousness within their own communities and across our world today. We pray for those who have suffered and who still suffer from the effects of war. May your love and grace reach out to the wounded, the bereaved, the distressed, the displaced, and strengthen those whose faith has been shaken by what they have seen and endured. We pray for your church throughout the world, that we may be a sign of hope in a divided world, a place of refuge in the midst of the storm, and the bearer of Jesus' light to those who dwell in darkness. May all people everywhere be drawn to the Prince of Peace and the God of all hope, who offers forgiveness of sin, healing from sickness, and life eternal to all who seek refuge in him. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." Let us continue in an attitude of prayerful worship as we sing hymn 165, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." firing torpedoes at a French ship from his U-boat was a turning point for Christian German soldier Martin Niemöller. The 23-year-old son of a Lutheran preacher in Westphalia, Martin joined the German war effort in 1915. He was immediately assigned to U-boats. But on the 25th of January 1917, his U-boat had to fire on a French ship that was trying to rescue the survivors of another torpedoed ship. It was an incident that was to change him forever. He said, "The whole complex problem of war presented itself to us, and we realized from this single experience of ours something of the tragedy involved. We saw that situations could arise in war in which it was utterly impossible to preserve a clear conscience." "Assuming we survived," he added, "the question of whether our conscience survived with us depended on whether we believed in the forgiveness of sins." His last act during World War I was to return his vessel to the naval port of Kiel following the armistice in November 1918. But he got totally lost and ended up going through mine-infested waters around Corfu. Referring to his survival as a miracle, he said, "I felt certain that some new task awaited me. Why otherwise would God himself have taken over our helm?" The future was in the church. Just like his father, Martin became a Lutheran pastor, hoping to bring the love and comfort of the Bible to a broken German society. Later, he was one of many church leaders who opposed the Hitler's nazification of Germany's Protestant churches. It was to cost him his freedom, as he spent 7 years in concentration camps in Sachsenhausen and Dachau during World War II. Here, he reported that despite being imprisoned, he felt liberated and saw God's promise fulfilled. Martin Niemöller, a German soldier in the Great War, became Reverend Niemöller, German prisoner of war in World War II. The sights and scenes of war and the faithfulness and the protection of Almighty God caused this soldier to place his trust, first and foremost, in the love of Christ, even if that meant taking a stand against the tyranny of Nazism. Many men and women have been called to serve their country in wars that they wish they had never fought, wars in which they were still willing to lay down their lives for the sake of their fellow citizens. We owe our own British forces an immense debt of gratitude for their service to us in the Great War and in the Second World War, and in the many conflicts that have followed since. But conflict and war is never straightforward. It is never purely black and white. The First and Second World Wars had Christian soldiers on both sides of the divide, fighting for their countries. It is not always easy to distinguish friend from foe, and there are many stories of heroism in war, where hands reached out to save the life of a so-called enemy, as well as saving the lives of comrades in arms. It is a sad fact of life that we still require armed forces today in order to protect our citizens and our nation from attack, and also to defend the rights of those who are having their freedoms attacked. Thankfully, much of the armed forces' time is spent in the areas of peacekeeping rather than an actual arm-to-arm combat. but they are still needed. Armed forces trained for war. Many people talk about how the world has evolved and progressed over the centuries, but sadly the inhumanity of men and women towards each other has also progressed and evolved. The 20th century saw more people dying in war than any century that preceded it. And our weapons of war have developed to chemical and nuclear warfare, overtaking that hand-to-hand combat of years gone by. In Jesus' day, there was still a need for armed forces, and they were very much a part of everyday life in Israel. But the soldiers that were on parade in the streets of Jerusalem and in Bethlehem and in Capernaum were not Israeli soldiers protecting their own land, but Roman soldiers, the occupied force ruling over the people of Israel. The Roman soldier was an enemy to the Jew. He was a man of war, sent by Caesar to rule over the people of Israel. And the soldier in our Bible passage today, which Derek read for us, was not any old soldier, but a centurion, a senior Roman officer who was in charge of the area of Capernaum. He would have had up to 100 men under his command. He was a man of great influence and power. He snapped his fingers and his men jumped to his command. Any Israelite who stepped out of line could be assured that he would bring the full force of Roman law upon them, and they would be lucky to escape with their lives. He was a formidable opponent of the people of Israel. And yet here in Matthew's gospel, we see that things are not as black and white as they might appear. A Roman soldier should be an enemy of Israel. And yet we see here not a man of war asserting his power and influence, but a man of faith seeking help from a Jewish rabbi. The centurion must have heard about the miracles of Jesus. An officer in command of his area, it would have been his duty to find out what was happening in that area. Jesus' ministry, as we know, had attracted the attention of many people, not just ordinary local people, but Pharisees and religious leaders from Jerusalem. And no doubt it also attracted the attention of the occupied forces, who were on the lookout for any people of interest, especially if they were attracting large crowds of followers. But this centurion did not approach Jesus in order to interrogate him or to arrest him on suspicion of inciting an uprising. He came to Jesus for help. He had heard that Jesus could heal people from their sickness, and he had a servant who was very poorly. So he came to ask Jesus to heal his servant. This man revealed that he had compassion and care towards those who were under him, towards his servants in his household. And he had enough faith in Jesus that he was willing to cross the divide and seek Jesus, this Jewish rabbi's help, in healing his servant. I wonder, do we have the same level of faith in Jesus? When our friends and our work colleagues are sick and in need of help, do we turn to Jesus and ask him for help, for healing, for restoration? We are privileged in that we can come before the Lord in prayer and ask him for these things. But do we have the faith to do so? Jesus responded to this soldier's cry for help, and he said, "I'll go and visit your servant in your house and heal him." This showed that Jesus had compassion and impartiality to this foreign soldier and his household. to heal that servant, he was willing to step over the Gentile threshold and reach out in love and compassion to the man who was sick. I wonder, are we always as willing to cross the thresholds of those who are different from us in order to share the love and compassion of Jesus? Jesus was willing to go, but the centurion was not willing to allow him to stoop to that level. He had faith in Jesus and in who Jesus was, and he knew that before Jesus, he was unworthy. And so he said, "No, sire, I do not want you to come to my home. I am not worthy enough to receive you." This centurion had no illusions of grandeur. He recognized that Jesus was greater than he was, and he humbled himself before him. His position in society was such that he could have commanded Jesus to heal his servant. But instead of commanding, he kneeled in humility before Jesus, recognizing his own unworthiness before him. I wonder, do we display such humility before Jesus? Do we recognize our own sense of unworthiness before God? Or can we be filled with religious pride? I'm a good Irish Presbyterian. I deserve to have the Lord listen to my prayers and answer my requests. Do we approach our Saviour as unworthy but forgiven sinners? Or as worthy, self-righteous saints? The centurion recognized that Jesus was the one in authority. And the centurion knew a lot about authority. He had 100 men under his charge. And he spoke with the authority of the mighty Caesar in Rome. And he had the authority to command his soldiers to do what he wished. And he recognized that Jesus had that same authority too. But his authority came from someone that was higher than Caesar. Jesus' authority came from Almighty God. And so he said to Jesus, "You say the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't even need to go to him. Just speak, and he will be healed." I wonder, do we have such faith in the authority of Jesus over the events in our own lives? Do we have faith that he has authority over every aspect of our living, every situation and trial and difficulty that we face as individuals, as a community of God's people, as a nation, as part of this world? Are we willing to place our trust in his authority and his judgment over every aspect of our lives? Or do we want to be the ones who are in control? So the centurion showed great faith in Jesus. He also showed great faith in Jesus' authority. And Jesus, in turn, was amazed at this man's faith in him. He commended the centurion for his faith. And he turned to the disciples who were with him and said, "I have not found such faith in all of Israel." What an indictment on the people of God. It was a foreigner who displayed great faith in Jesus. Not one of his devoted Jewish followers. Not one of the religious Jewish leaders. But a foreigner. A Gentile. An enemy of the state. So often faith is found in unusual places and in unusual people. The prisoner who finds faith in a prison cell. The drug addict who finds faith in a rehab unit. The refugee who finds faith through the work of a welcome centre. The terminally ill person who finds faith on their deathbed. I wonder, do we look for and do we expect to see faith in unusual places? Or do we only expect to see faith here in the pews on a Sunday. May we be able to open our eyes to see the faith that is already existent in those that we would see as outsiders. Sadly, Jesus discovered that it was often the religious people who failed to display faith. The children of Israel were God's chosen people, yet they failed to see their long-awaited Messiah in their midst. They squandered their privileged position, and as a result of their lack of faith, Jesus tells them that they will be thrown out of the kingdom, and God's kingdom given to those who do have faith. Jesus' words in verse 12 are a somber warning to the Jewish people, but they're also a somber warning to us today. Let us not take count of our privileged positions of being born a Presbyterian or an Anglican or a Methodist. Unless we have faith in Jesus Christ, then we are squandering our position and we forfeit our place around the banqueting table of our Saviour. We are not God's people because of our birthright, but because of faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder, is the Christian church and its people complacent about their position in God's kingdom, just as the Jewish people and the religious leaders were in Jesus' day? Let us not be people who squander faith, but people who are willing to display living faith in Jesus Christ through the way we live for him in our world today. Jesus saw the centurion's great faith and rewarded that by healing his servant. When the centurion reached his home, he found his servant restored and in good health. Jesus rewards those who place their faith in him. When we trust in him, he will grant us all that we need to live for him and much more besides. Faith is like that muscle in your body. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. And Jesus tells us that all we need is faith as small as a mustard seed, and he will take that which we have and multiply it tenfold. I wonder, are we willing to exercise our faith in Jesus in the world today and to trust him to bring in the rewards? So we've looked at this centurion soldier and we have examined his motivations and his desire to see Jesus, his willingness to be humble before him, his willingness to place his faith and his trust in Jesus' authority. What is that telling us today as a people of faith? The centurion was a foreign soldier who displayed great faith in Jesus and in his authority over all things. As people of faith today, are we willing to learn from this foreigner and become God's people in the world today? Are we willing to turn to Jesus, to recognize that he is the one in whom we can place our hope and our trust? Are we willing to trust in Jesus for our salvation? Are we willing to bow in humility before the name of Jesus, acknowledging him as Lord and Savior over our world and over the entire earth? Are we willing to trust in Jesus to meet our every need, just as that centurion placed his trust in Jesus and in Jesus' authority to heal his servant? Are we willing to allow the voice of Jesus to lead and direct every aspect of our lives today? We respond to Jesus as individual people, but we are also gathered together as God's people in the world today. And are we willing to accept that Jesus' kingdom is open to all people from every nation under heaven? That the criteria for entry is not a birth certificate or even a baptismal certificate, but a living faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. If we pledge our faith and our obedience in Jesus, are we willing to take our place at the table of the King with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are gathered from the east and the west and the north and the south? A great gathering of all nations who work together as the people of God in this world today, proclaiming God's kingdom reign amongst us, pledging our allegiance to our great and glorious Saviour, and seeking to meet the needs of all people so that they too may turn in faith and place their trust in Jesus' authority to rule and to reign here on earth until that day comes when he unites us with all those saints who have gone before us. So this morning we have had a challenge from our soldier of faith. Are we willing to learn the lessons of his encounter with Jesus? Are we willing to place our faith in Jesus? Are we willing to submit to Jesus' authority? And are we willing to reach out in the hand of love and compassion and grace to those who are different from ourselves, but to those who are also called into the living kingdom of Jesus Christ through faith in him? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the great example that you sent to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his perfect life on earth and for his willing sacrifice on the cross at Calvary for the sins of the world. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be with us as a people of faith, that you would strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, that you would give us the humility that we need to bow to his authority, and that we would be willing to be his servants in this world, declaring his good news to those whom we know and love, and to those who are different from ourselves. We rejoice, O Lord, in your great salvation plan to bring peace and prosperity to this earth through faith in Christ. And so we ask, O Lord, that we would be equipped and enabled to be your soldiers of faith in today's world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Saviour and Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that we find in him and the new life that you have to offer all who follow him. So we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them for the advancement of your kingdom here in this place and across your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There will be a retiring offering for the Royal British Legion Poppy Appeal after this service. Let us bring our service to a close as we sing our final hymn, hymn number 644, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Thank you.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you this day and forevermore. Amen.